Bulabanaka, hola, or welcome to the Fluorescence Podcast, a show for those who are ready to live their most authentic life. Each conversation will challenge and defy everything you've ever known in order to shift you closer to the next level. I'm your host, Felicia All, a multifaceted queen that can't fit into a box. I'm so excited to share this space with you. Let's get into it. Hello, hola, or welcome back to the Fluorescence Podcast. I hope you are all having an amazing start to your week or whenever you are listening to this. I hope your life is amazing. It's phenomenal. I hope you're thriving, basically. I hope you are doing well because I am, and it's always a really good feeling. Life is a roller coaster and we go up and down and round, and right now I'm on a little bit of a high. I'm on the up, which is great, and we can't have the highs without the lows. I embrace it all. But sometimes it's hard when it feels like the lows are more frequent than the highs. But feeling grateful for today, grateful to be alive, grateful for this podcast, this community, that you are taking time out of your busy day to listen to the golden nuggies that I have to share with you. So in today's episode, we are going to be talking about balance and whether it is bullshit, because I have heard both sides of the coin that balance, specifically work-life balance, is something that can never be achieved. And then on the other hand, I have heard that obtaining balance or trying to find that in your life is necessary to live a fulfilled and happy life. So those are two completely different, strong and bold perspectives that we have, and I get told both of them all the time, and it just makes it super confusing because I'm like, what is achievable so that I can figure out what I am striving towards? Firstly, let's establish what balance is. Let's define balance. And I'm going to pose a question to you, because balance can mean different things to different people. Is living a balanced life when you spend the equal amount of times on the necessary commitments you have in your life? Or is it about having a sense of harmony and fulfillment across the different areas of our lives? Because we do have different areas of our lives. We aren't all just work. We have relationships, we have hobbies, we have exercise, we have hygiene, we have eating, we have socializing. There is so much to our big and beautiful lives. And to me personally, to be balanced is that when I look at holistically, when I look at a week, and then probably when I look at a month, there has been a nice amount of work and play and rest in the month or the week or the day or whatever. It's kind of hard on a day-to-day basis, because one day you might have a really, really busy day. And that could even be the same for a week as well. One day or one week might be super busy for you, but you know that the next week for you is going to be quiet and rest is on the horizon. I do believe that balance is something that is subjective. We all have a different definition of what balance means, and I feel like you need to find what that is for you. That's the first step. And as I just mentioned, one week or one day might be really busy, and then one might not be the next. And that's when we need to recognize seasons. So this is what I think about when people say that balance isn't necessarily achievable, because we do have seasons in our lives where sometimes it is just more hectic. Sometimes require more dedication and focus and grind and hustle, but you know that isn't going to be your life for the rest of eternity. For example, when you are building a new business, or when you are at university, or perhaps you've just started a new job, and that time in your life is really busy, it's really full, it requires you to be absorbing a lot of information. And a new job, the first week at a new job, I feel like it's so intense, because you're meeting all these new people and you have to try and remember all their names. And then on top of that, you are trying to learn this role, generally during a handover, and you know this person that's teaching you is going to leave and you're going to have to figure it out by yourself. First weeks or first couple of weeks for me at a new job are always super overwhelming and super information overload. And I know that is just a season and I am going to get better at it. I'm going to get better at the job and hopefully things are going to mellow out a little bit. And the same goes for a business. So at the moment, I am building my biz, I'm building my marketing agency. But what's really interesting in my experience is I quit my job to live a more balanced lifestyle. Like, that's why I'm talking about this today, because what I have been finding is, and I already knew this, you quit your job and you work 24/7 in your biz. I get that. I know that's how it's been done in the past by a lot of successful entrepreneurs. And I know you are always on. I'm working every day, thinking about my business every day, communicating with my clients on the weekends. That is just the way it is. But I honestly think things can be done differently. And I have a very exciting episode coming up about this. I'm going to be doing it with another entrepreneur, and she also has a digital marketing agency. And she believes that building a business can be done holistically, can be done without the burnout, which is something that's really important to me. So I can't wait for that chat. So just park that idea for now and get excited about that episode. But coming back to my experience at the moment, at the beginning, I was getting really frustrated that I was working, quote unquote, outside of work hours. So earlier than 9 and after 5 p.m. or working on the weekends. I was getting really frustrated with myself about that, because that is not what I envisioned for this new lifestyle. And then I actually thought about it in depth. Felicia, you live a lifestyle where you have more free time during the day. Perhaps you go to appointments, you go see your grandparents, you go for an hour walk with your friends, you go out for lunch with your mom, you go to pottery. All of this stuff means that if you are taking time away from your computer during working hours, quote unquote working hours, the traditional, then that may require you to do some work after working hours, and that's totally okay, because it's not like you've been sitting at your computer all day, every single day. So that was a really huge realization for me at first. And when I first quit my job, because my previous employment, both of my jobs have been really hectic, and I was like, is this just what the workforce is like? Because it ain't for me. My first job made me ridiculously stressed out, hundy burnout vibes, not a vibe. I've already been there, done that. And then last year, I transitioned into remote work, working from home. That was a challenge in itself, being alone a lot of the time and coming to terms with that. And then on top of that, there were very high expectations for me in my role. And it all just got a little too much. And that is the reason why I quit my job and wanted to start my business and have enough clients just to pay the bills, but then live a more slow lifestyle. And I managed to do that for probably about a month and a half. But now I have fallen back into this trap of being really busy, super stressed, and not the optimal Felicia that I know I can be. Stress is the number one trigger that results in super anxious thoughts and really low depressive moods. And I'm happy that I am aware of that, that's what stress does for me. And that's why I am trying to consciously reduce stress in my life, because I can't function properly if I have too much of it. And that is sometimes hard to admit, because I used to have a super high capacity, and I still do. I do amazing things. I'm really proud of all the different hats that I wear in my life. But after a couple of extreme burnouts, you just get really tired and really exhausted, and you just want a rest. You just want a break. So I did give myself that after I quit my job in mid-January. I had a couple of weeks. I just chilled for January, the rest of it, so nice. And then it was pretty much the same for the first 3 weeks of Feb. And I kicked myself a little bit for that. I'm like, get into work, start hustling your ass off, girlfriend. And looking back, I'm really glad I had those like extra 3 weeks in Feb that I wasn't expecting to be chilling, because once I hit March, April, May, the last 3 months have been quite chaotic, to say the least. And I hopefully, fingers crossed, have just come out of a busy season in terms of my work. But I know looking ahead at the rest of the year, we've got lots going on. 2.5 weeks and I'm in Bali. Come back for a month and then I'm off to Colombia for 2.5 months. So it's all go, and my life is about to be turned upside down, because it's a lot of travel for this girl who hasn't done that much in her whole entire life. And so that's where we have to ask the question, if life is just about seasons. If I look at the first 5 months of this year, I spent 6 weeks chilling, and then the last 3 months I've been hustling, and then I'm going to chill again, hustle. I understand how it has happened, but I'm not sure if that's what I want. I feel like I can do it better. I feel like we can all do it better so there is more balance in our lives. And I know I just am coming out of the back end of a really stressful time and a really busy and full time is due to my lack of boundaries, which is the next point we're going to discuss. I wholeheartedly believe one cannot achieve balance without having strong boundaries that you are confident in and that you stand behind. There's no point having boundaries if you're not going to implement them. And that is the biggest thing that I have been learning this year, especially as a business owner, because while I want to be there for my clients, I want to show up for them, I want to produce my best work, that doesn't mean that they can call me at every single hour of the day or me to be there exactly when I need them, or for me to do something exactly when they need it. Some people might have a different opinion, but for me, for Felicia, in order to be able to do my best work, I cannot just come to you at the drop of a hat, because I might be deep in work, or I might have other commitments, or I might even be going just to go get a massage. Like, I am not going to book a business meeting during my massage time. You know, say I have a massage Thursday 11 a.m. and one of my clients is like, can you meet at this time? I'm gonna be like, no, sorry, I have another meeting. But in reality, I have my massage, but they don't need to know that. They just need to know that I'm busy and I'm preoccupied. So the three things that I would say in terms of establishing boundaries is defining specific working hours. I think this is really important. And although I've just mentioned that sometimes I have been working late, and I just understand that that is part of the business life with me hanging out with my friends during the day, or just being busy during the day with other things other than work, I do still believe I could benefit from having specific work hours, whether that's like a morning block and an afternoon block, and that could be on the weekdays and on the weekends. Whatever it is, I think it is really important to set a routine so that our brain can learn to function and know when it's work time and when it's play / leisure time. The second thing I would say is disconnecting from technology during our fun, play, leisure time. For most of us, technology, we need it for our work. It is the biggest, most important piece of equipment or tool to help us do our work. It is for me as a marketing agency. I need my computer, I need my screen, I need my keyboard, and I'm good to go. And my phone as well, because I'm on social media. So because I spend most of my waking hours on my screens and on my devices, find a hobby that doesn't require you to be on them. Watching Netflix or scrolling the internet is not a freaking hobby. I'm sorry to say it, and I used to say it. When people ask me what I would enjoy to do, I'd say watching Netflix and going on the internet. And that isn't actually all that fun. We just do it just because we do it. I do enjoy creating content as a content creator, but I've been finding myself less and less mindlessly scrolling, which is amazing because I have been addicted to social media for the past few years, but I am weaning myself off it, which is amazing. But Find another hobby that allows you to disconnect from technology, whether that's going for hikes or going for a walk around your block or playing a board game with a friend or pottery or singing. I'm now mentioning my hobbies. I have been absolutely loving pottery. I've told myself in the past that I've never been good at art because I didn't like to paint. And when I say I didn't like to paint, I mean I wasn't good at it. I generally only like things that I'm good at. And what I'm finding with pottery, my mind just completely zones out and I get really immersed in the thing I am making. I'm learning patience because pottery takes time. It's a skill that you build. At the moment, I am mainly working with my hands and building things with my hands, but I'm really looking forward to getting on the wheel. And it's so super exciting. Singing lessons, a huge passion of mine, and I go for a half an hour lesson once a week and then try and sing when I'm in the car and things, and that has been super fun. So I challenge you to find a hobby or find something that is a break from work that doesn't require technology, so we can all get a break from it. It's good for your mental health, it's good for your eyes, good for everyone overall. And the third thing is prioritizing self-care. And this looks different for everyone. We all know the typical meditate, journal, take a bath, light some candles. But self-care can look different to everyone. Going for a run could be self-care for you. Dancing in your house with the music blasting could be self-care. It could be reading the cheesiest, most romantic fiction novel, whatever it is, find what fills your cup. It could be hanging out with your family. It depending on whether that recharges you or depletes your battery. Prioritize self-care. I would say it would do something little for yourself every single day, and then do something that's like an hour or two every single week. So self-care for me does look like going to the gym. The gym is my safe space and I've fallen in love with weight training, and I generally go to the gym for about an hour, 5 to 6 times a week, and then the sauna after the gym, chef's kiss, is so good. Not only is it good physiologically for my health, but I like to go in there and I'll read either a self-development book, a fiction book, or meditate, or I'll literally just sit there. But it is so, so, so good for my health and my mental health. And then I do splurge on quite an expensive massage every month because I work out so much. My muscles are tight. Your girl's muscles are screaming. And so I do spend a couple of $100 getting an hour and a half massage once a month. And those going for that is one of my literal favorite things to do. I feel so calm, so zen after it. And the great thing is the guys, they're like, don't work too hard after your massage. And now that I'm self-employed, I literally can do that, not work too hard, and just have a chill afternoon for myself. It might look like taking yourself on a date. I can't say I've done this a whole lot. I go run errands by myself, but what if I was just to go sit in a cafe but not work? I feel like working from a cafe is cheating. Just spending time with yourself. I would think it would be okay to take a book, but scrolling on your phone would be a little bit of a cop-out. I want to go to the movies by myself. I feel like that would just be so much fun. Usually we go and watch a movie with another person, which I really know why, because you just go sit in the dark with other people and watch a screen. So what does it really matter going by myself? That is on my bucket list. So in today's world, everything is fast-paced. We live in quite a chaotic world. So the next thing I want to talk about is flexibility and adaptability. And this is really important in the post-COVID world when remote working is super common, because as I have mentioned, my life is a little bit blurry at the moment between work and home, and that is the same as if you were in a job. and you are working from home, the lines between kind of the your areas and spaces that are for fun and leisure merge in with the work life, and that is not a vibe, and it doesn't help you switch off. So if you don't, I highly suggest you have like a really designated spot in your house, ideally in a separate room where all the work is done. So that is where I am right now. In our office, we have a two-bedroom home, and the other room is an office, and it's amazing because Daniel has his work slash gaming setup, and I have my work set up here. And I mean, it does get a little blurry sometimes because I watch YouTube videos, and I do like life errands here at my computer as well. So it does get a little bit blurry, but I know when I go to the lounge and I go sit on the couch, I'm reading a book or I'm watching Netflix. I don't go and sit on the couch and do work. I do not take my laptop into the bedroom. Those are strictly for sleeping and hanging out in the lounge. And I really love having that distinction of space because I do truly believe like physical spaces have energy. And when I walk into the office, I know game on. I know I have to work. Whereas if I'm going to go lie on the couch, I'm not going to work. And that is a really nice thing to have if you don't have that physical separation between work and home, because you work from home. And I think as we progress in the world and as things get more blurry, I only think it's going to get worse. So if you can get a grip of it now, and honestly, the ideal working situation is if you have a hybrid working from home and working in the office. And my ex job, I did 2 days at home and 3 days in the office. And that was really nice because I got the best of both worlds. I got to go in, have office banter, muck around in the office, talk to my friends, but then I also got to come home and do really focused, deep work, which I absolutely love, and do focus and deep work, which is really important to shift the needle forward and actually tick off my tasks for the week. And now the last thing I want to talk about, which is perhaps going to be the biggest challenge or hurdle that you come across when achieving this life of balance, is work culture and societal factors. So everyone knows hustle culture or toxic hustle culture is a thing. It is still very prominent, but it has been brought to light in the past couple of years. If you go and listen to, I think, episode 2, I did an episode on hustle culture, and it's one of the best episodes. You guys loved it so, so much. And I was speaking from experience about how I had literally been grinding myself into the ground for the past like 4 or 5 years. And I mean, I'm a little better now, but still, I have a long way to go. I'm going to give you an example so you can understand how the pressure of people around you, your bosses, your colleagues, or just people on the internet can really affect your ability to judge whether something like a situation or something is too much for you and you can't take it anymore. So in 2019, I was doing my postgraduate diploma in environmental management, and because the New Zealand government doesn't pay student allowance for postgrad students, I worked 3 jobs. One of them was about 5 hours a week, one was 10 hours a week, and so that's 15, and then the other one varied between 20 to 30, 40 on some weeks. So imagine that for a postgrad full-time uni student, plus trying to do those 3 jobs, plus trying to go to the gym, socialize, hang out with her partner. It all got a bit fucking much. And it was about April 2019, and I remember I was bawling my eyes out in a cafe in my town with my boss for one of the jobs. And she and the other kind of leaders in the organization had made the decision that I needed to go on stress leave because I wasn't coping anymore. I wasn't functioning very well. I was having a mental breakdown like every single day because it was all just too overwhelming and I had too much to do and I didn't know where to even begin. So I had this quote unquote stress leave, right? And I remember crying in the cafe because I was so upset that they were making me go on stress leave. I felt like an absolute failure because I could not uphold postgrad study and 3 jobs. Like, that is so much pressure on oneself. But I literally thought I was the world's biggest failure. And those 2 weeks of stress leave, literally was 2 weeks of not having to focus on that one job so I could still do my 2 other jobs and submit my assignments. So it wasn't leave or a break of any kind. It was just me stepping away from one of my commitments for 2 weeks so that I could prioritize time into another commitment. And I'm really surprised that I was able to submit assignments and I managed to pass my postgraduate diploma with distinction, which absolutely blows my mind considering the mental state that I was in. I was just so overwhelmed and there was so much to do. Another instance, I remember I was with the counselor and we wrote down all my commitments from most important to least important. And she was like, okay, we're getting rid of the last 3. And I was absolutely beside myself because I was a people pleaser and I wanted to impress people and I wanted to seem as if I was doing lots of things and achieving lots of things. And I'm a high achiever. I'm a high performer and I was just striving to be the absolute best. And it's what almost broke me. And a lot of that pressure to want to do all that stuff, it came internally. No one was expecting me to do anything. But it was an internal reaction to the expectations I saw of other people around me and what I saw in society. I was just like, this is what I have to do to get ahead. And so if you are in a working environment where it is toxic hustle culture, like things that come to mind is like accounting and law, they literally wake up to work. Those are the kind of people that live to work. And that's why I know so many people that have got out of law and accounting, because it is so mundane, it's so boring, and you spend a lot of your life at the office. Absolute cringe. Not for me. So when you have all that pressure to perform around you, how can you prioritize balance in your life if no one around you is doing it? And this is why you are a product of the 5 people you are around. I try to spend my time with people that are ambitious and they want to better themselves every day, but at the same time, they understand that nourishing their bodies, their minds, and souls is also really important. And probably the thing that is going to get them to that next level in business, in wealth, in relationships, whatever it is. There's a yin and yang in life. I fully, wholeheartedly believe that. And that's why I do believe balance is achievable. And I also think it is necessary in our lives. Yes, we may go through seasons. And as long as there's seasons, they're not forever, then I think it is okay. But you don't want to have a hustle season that gets to the point where you're literally bawling your eyes out in a cafe or having a mental breakdown every single day. Learn from me. When you get to that point of absolute burnout, it is really difficult to recover from. Speaking from experience, 2019, we are like 4 years on, and I don't think my nervous system has fully healed from that traumatic experience. And so that's why I found myself every single year for the past 4 years, I will come to burnout of some kind and be super exhausted and lethargic. I would say that I nipped it in the bud this time. Like these past 3 months have been hectic and I have had a few wee breakdown/panic attacks, but I've managed to sort it out and eliminate the situation. And that is on fucking growth, guys, because four years ago, Felicia would have people pleased and thought, no, I need to stay in this situation. I need to try harder. I need to be better. And I did do that for like a hot minute, but then the universe provided and I was like, no, girl, you need to listen to your gut and intuition and exit that situation. Letting go is going to help you move forward. Stepping back is going to help you go 2 steps forward. And so maybe the reason I'm feeling so good mentally at this time right now is because that situation has a end date in sight and I'm really excited and I feel relieved and I feel good. How I will end this episode is, everyone around you is going to tell you how to live your life. You're going to have people on social media, you're going to have your family, your parents, your work colleagues, bosses, managers, friends, whatever it is. They're all going to say, you're not working hard enough, you're working too much. Only you know the level that is right for you, that is what you can maintain in a healthy way that helps you lead a balanced lifestyle so that you're able to invest time and energy, important, not just time, you've got to have the mental capacity as well, to spend time with your partner, to spend time with your family, to work on projects and get your creative juices or analytical brain firing. You need time and energy for that. You need time and energy to replenish yourself, whether that looks like a massage, a bath, gym, hobbies, whatever it is, you need to have time for all of it. And on that point, what is a really good tool is a life audit. One of my early episodes as well, I'll link it in the show notes. I'll link Hustle Culture and Life Audit, bloody good episodes. And a life audit is something that you can do to kind of see how happy you are with certain areas of your life, split up into categories, which is generally like finances, health, relationships, career, etc., etc. So I hope you have enjoyed all the juice in this episode. This is me speaking from experience, and I absolutely love doing solo eps, but we're going to have some guest ones coming up, which I'm so excited about. And thank you so much for listening to the episode. If you loved it, please share it with your friends or share it on your stories. It means the absolute world for the small potty, and I will catch you in the next episode. Much love, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Fluorescence Podcast. If it landed, I'm glad. And if you loved it, please share it with the ones you love most. If you want to chat, check us out on socials, and I'll catch you on the next episode.